This morning, I will be, you know, encouraging us and teaching us and showing us something about the gravity of fruitfulness. The gravity of fruitfulness. Or you can call it the importance. But importance doesn't really, I don't know which other word would do justice. But that is what we shall be looking at. Pastor D sends a greetings to us. I better clap well so I can come in, so I can come again. Or else I will not just come again. You know, she sends her greetings. So what word can I use aside from gravity? Of fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is such a very, very important matter to God. And so we need to look at it. Is somebody giving me a word? The weight. You're correct. The weight. The weight of fruitfulness. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Mark, chapter 11, I guess. From verse 12. How many of us are looking forward to the School of Destiny? It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. I want you to prepare. Praise God. The gravity and the weight of fruitfulness. It's difficult to preach because as I'm preaching, I still want to greet you more. So I'm interrupted by my desire to say a greeting or to give a commendation, you know. So just know that I'm greeting you and then I'm also commending you for your great works. You know, very soon all of you are going to be great workers of great things for the Lord. You see. Every one of you are going to be workers of great things for the Lord. You know, the Lord told me sometimes, was it last week, that we need to hurriedly, quickly plant more churches. We're going to plant more churches. Yeah. We have to hurry up, you see, so that we can save the lost. Mark chapter 11. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. You see? Who was hungry? Jesus was hungry. Let's read. And seeing from afar a fig tree, having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. Right? When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. And the reason why he found nothing was because it was not the season for figs. Right? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I don't know, what fruit season are we currently in? Is there any fruit that we're currently in right now? Orange. Okay. Well, people usually look forward to Agbalumo season. You even know you know the month for Agbalumo? It's January. January, February is Agbalumo. Yeah. So imagine looking for Agbalumo in June. The Bible says that there was a reason. The reason why he did not find fruits on that tree was because it's not its season. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think there can be any reasonable reason better than this reason? Like this reason makes a lot of sense. All right. Because not just that it was not the season, it was not the season of figs. Like, you will not see any fig producing at that time. You won't find one. Because figs will not produce at that time. Figs, generally, everywhere, figs will not produce. Let's read. In response, this was Jesus' response, you see, to that very powerful excuse. Let no one eat from you ever again. The gravity of fruitfulness. That's the topic. One wonder pekilo letoi. Fruitfulness lejubelo. The gravity. You see, fruitfulness is not your success story. It's your legitimacy to remain. It's not like a testimony, I'm now fruitful. No, it's beyond that. It's what makes it legitimate for you to remain in Jesus' earth. You know, he's the one that made this earth. The fig did not have fruit because it's not its season. Is that not enough reason for Jesus to say, I forgot. Let's go and look for something else. Jesus' response to that excuse is that, then in this season, it's not your season, Abby. Okay, what in one season? The gravity of fruit. You see, you cannot afford to be fruitful later. There is no plan for somebody who plans to be fruitful later. Heaven does not have a good response for such people. Because you see, this particular fig tree is indirectly saying that it's not my season, but I promise you, when it's my season, you will eat later. Jesus Christ said, I do not wait for later. You know, there are a few places where Jesus behaved so unkind. This is one of those places. Because I will not behave like this. What Jesus did here, I'm not going to do it. I'm nicer than the Lord. I'm not going to act this way. I'm going to understand that it's not his season. You see, if it's not your season, what can I do? Oh Lord my God. Jesus' response was that no one will eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. You see, and his disciples thought that it belonged back. You know, when you are hungry, there's a way you behave. You know, when you're hungry, there's a way you behave. There is an anger that is not like, you are an angry person. It's just that there is an anger that hunger gives you. And you are not patient when you are hungry. And that's why sometimes when you are hungry, You know, recently my daughter was hungry. And then she wanted to eat. You see, and she came to me that she wanted to eat. And then she was really crying that she wants to eat. And I said, what do you want to eat? She said that I want to eat chips. I said, what's mommy doing? He said, mommy is frying chips. And then she was really crying. I said, but what do you want to? She said, chips. I said, which chips? Mommy is frying. She said, yes. I said, so when mommy finished frying the chips, she will eat it. She said, no, I want to eat now. And she was wailing for the chips that is being fried. You know, that's even better than when you are hungry and you get to the kitchen and they just wash the beans on the fire. Like they just washed it. You know, when they, you know when they first they put beans inside water, you will know. You will just see that the water will be all the beans just so the beans. And beans has a way of smiling at you. When they just start, they will just smile at you like it's pitying you. Especially if it's someone that can cook beans. You know, the secret is to make it soft. You see, if you have been failing in beans, let me tell you. If you have been failing. You know, some of you have been feeling in beans. You see, beans does not have too much secret. One of the key secrets is that make it very soft. If it's very soft, it will be sweet. But you see, your hunger does not allow you. Otiro, otiro. You now. So his disciples thought, behave erratic. Because when they got back, they found out that actually that tree started getting, the leaves started drying up. It dried up. And they were shocked. They were shocked. And they were like, Rabbi, okay. Now, in the morning, as they passed by, so they went back to that place, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Ha! The gravity of what? Fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is a serious matter. You see, I want to take serious what the Lord takes. You know, the way some people plan to do, to be fruitful later, is a big mystery to me. I said, okay, Tebati Meko, Mawa. Wow. You see, you are a God for you to have such powers. To say, Mawa. Okay, Ode Magbadu Mio, I'm a good giver. Okay. Tebati Meko, they will see that this church, they will know I'm the number one giver. When I start making money, the way I will give, you will. Jesus has a response to that, that you will not give later. God will not, doesn't have a plan to receive something from you later that you won't give him now. So you see, everything you want to do later, you are better be doing it now. What you are not doing now, you are cursed never to do it. I tell you the truth. The gravity of fruitfulness. Okay, I will give later. There is a curse. No, I'm not the one telling you these things. I'm showing you from Mark chapter 11. And it's also in Matthew. So you find out that two old men cannot be lying. The people that wrote these things were with Jesus. They said Jesus looked at a tree that was not its season. So the question we need to ask, what is really the season of a thing? Say, I will be a giver when? Later. Hey! I will evangelize later. Huh? I will serve later. You know, that's what the Bible says, now. Today, now is the day of salvation. You see, what you will do in the future, according to heaven, is what you are doing now. In response, this is Jesus' response to people who want to be fruitful later. Are you seeing what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
You know, early this morning, because I was, you know, I asked the Lord what to preach. You see, it was just this morning that he told me. He did not tell me. Sometimes he prepares me long ahead, but other times he will not tell me till the time. So I asked him. So this morning was when he spoke to me. He told me what to tell them in Ikorodu, because I've preached in Ikorodu today, you see, and I'm preaching here. And some of you got here late. May have done two services. You see, you can see that our future will not be the same. Yeah? I want you to understand that God is not cheating. You understand? I've been waking up around 5-6 for the past 20 years of my life, you see, for the sake of the Lord. You understand? You wake up when you like. So when the Lord is sharing things, you understand, you should not be offended. You understand? I'm preparing you, because the things the Lord will share to me might make you jealous, because the Lord is planning to share a lot of things for me. So you better start your own journey now. No be today. Eh? It don't take. Eh? Now, you are waiting to be an apostle, right? Or you are waiting to be a pastor. Whereas there are souls you should already be pastoring. But you are saying God did not call you. God is now giving you a response that, okay, that calling that I have not called you, maybe I will not call you again. Okay, you don't have a calling. All right, you will not have a calling again. Let's read again. Let's go back. Let's look at it. I don't know. Did you come here to play? Like, you came to life to play, then you go to heaven after you are done playing. Are you? You understand? Like, is this Jurassic Park or Disney or? Is it not a serious thing? I'm not here to play, because I can die at any time. Do you understand? So, I can die at any time. I don't have the power not to die. I don't have the power. I can't predict when I will die. Me, I can die at any time. And so, I must live my life knowing that I can't plan to do it. That's why I must help now. I can't help people tomorrow. Everything I plan to do in the future, I'm already doing it now, because there is no future I'm sure of. The Bible says that life is like vapor. Vapor is so... is the most unreliable thing. You can't rely on vapor. You know, if you tell people that, you see, if you boil water, it's just in that moment where the fire is on, the vapor will come out. The minute after a while, there will not be vapor again. Yeah. Vapor is so... 13. Go to 13. Come now, you who say. Come. He says, let me talk to you. You who say, today or tomorrow we will go. We will go to such a city. Spend a year there. You see, when I go there, I will spend a year. Then I will buy and sell. Then I will make profit. He says, come, let me tell you something. Let's see what he's telling us. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? Your life. I want everybody to stand up. You know what is standing up? As I said, you know what stood up? Your life stood up. So I want to tell you what Jesus is saying to your life. You understand? I wanted your life to stand up so you can look at your life and hear. What is your life? It is even a vapor. So what stood up right now is a vapor. A vapor stood up. You see, The reason why you are still standing is because God has allowed by grace the vapor to remain. Immediately grace leaves, you will find that you are really a vapor. Vapor, eruku. Is it eruku? No, it's not eruku. What's vapor in Yoruba? Steam. It is even a vapor. It appears for a little time. It then vanishes away. All right? Next verse. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. You can sit down, vapor. I tell you the truth. Let's go back to what our Lord said to us. All right, thank you. So the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. Praise God. So what does Jesus call a tree? Leaves, and branch, root, stem, without fruit. Nothing. If it has root, it has stem, it has this thing. Jesus' description of it, he found nothing. So he means he's not looking for roots. He's not looking for, what he's looking for is fruit. It means that everything that was given to that tree was given because of fruit. You understand? It was not given leaves for leaves. It was not given roots for roots. It was not given stem for stem. It was given everything for what? Fruit. I got to read it if he die. Why we must see the reason we created you. Are you with me? He's saying that I must see the reason. I must not see the tools I gave you. You see, every other thing are tools. If you like, beautify the tools. He doesn't. That's not his business. What he wants to see is the reason he made you. And if you tell him that the reason, he will get it tomorrow, you would operate under a curse. Because we saw the next verse. It says, in response, Jesus, you see, so you cannot this. What I'm telling you is that you cannot say you will be fruitful later. I'm telling you, you cannot say. Don't say you will be fruitful later. He does not joke with fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is a grave issue. I always share one of these stories of my spiritual father. He told me, when they left the university many years ago, that was when some of these modern banks just started. They just started afresh. And they left university as a first class student, first class in economics with some of his guys. But they had a calling. Now, the founders of one of those banks called them and said, all right, I want you guys to come on board. And I'm going to put you guys in strategic places so that you guys will grow and become one of the leaders of this bank. They gave them the offer. He went home and made sure he tore his own so that he will not be tempted. The other person, you see, took that offer. The other person also had a calling to go straight into the ministry. You see, years later, many, many years later, the guy is struggling to be back to the ministry. He wants to be back, but there is no opportunity to be back. And he's not as wealthy as even my spiritual father. The money he did not get. You see, but that ministry, he's not waiting for him. You see, your purpose is not waiting for you. Okay, to ba se leni wa se lola. To ba se leni, chances one pe o never se mo. Otiye. His disciples heard it. All right? Then when they got back, you see, they found out that the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." Now, how do you recover a tree that the root has withered? It's gone. There's nothing you can do again. So you see, even your tools that God gave you are preserved by purpose. Even your ability, they are. So you mean when you drop fruitfulness, everything about you begins to decay. It's just a matter of time. So even to preserve the tools God gave us, the roots, the stem, the leaves, for it to deserve remaining, for it to deserve to remain, it will remain because you are being fruitful. So sometimes even your skin, cancer will not touch you because you are fruitful. Like your body cannot take cancer. But some bodies qualify for cancer, you see, because the body is not is being misused. This body is not being used for why God gave it the body. You see? So the roots, the branches, the leaves, everything began to wither. You see? But if that tree was producing fruit, you will see the root will be sharp. The leaves will be sharp. You will think it's the leaves sustaining the fruit. Later you will find that it's the fruit sustaining the leaves. It's the fruit. It's the fruit sustaining. I tell you the truth. Some of you, your finance will be sustained because of your fruitfulness. Yeah. And some of you, your finances will be crashing because of your lack of fruitfulness. You will not know. Some people drop fruitfulness to go and get money. And you don't know that there is a curse that everything will begin to be destroyed because you are not fruitful. But if you are fruitful, your finance will stay. Your marriage will stay because God gave you all those tools. See, I think Zamfara State, I watched in the news, the current governor just went to recover about 50 cars of the old governor. The old governor, as he used to say, the governor. I think it's Peter Obi that says governor. Eh?
Yes, sir.
You see, just to digress, let me not even digress. He collected about 50 cars from him. You see, if he was still governor, they won't be able to collect it. You see, but being governor is what is sustaining those cars. You understand? They collected all the cars. You know, some of you, when I came here, some of you were respecting me. You know, Abigail was greeting me. She was like, she was very happy to see me. You see, it's not me she's happy to see you. It's fruitfulness. If I'm not fruitful, you know, she will hi me. Like, hi. Yeah, you don't say hi. I will say hello. Can I talk to you? She'll say, please, I don't have time. I'm going somewhere. All right. Take care of yourself. Yeah. I can't even tell her hi. She'll say, why are you? Who are you? Can you go and shave up? Why are you so? All the beard on your face. Oh, my goodness. I tell you the truth. Fruitfulness will make you shine.
Yeah.
You focus on the things God wants you to pray. Now, the fig tree said, how do I know it said? Because the Bible said Jesus responded. So that means the fig tree was speaking boldly and it was expecting a pat on its back. When the master said, Master, well, what is a bold mistake? It's actually not my time, Master. You didn't get that right. So just now say, all right, nobody will eat from you ever again in life. But you see, preceding verse said that. No, preceding. Preceding must mean before, yeah. Matthew 11:12. Verse 12. You see, the next day, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
When they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. You see, Jesus' hunger is your season. Your season is not based on who you are or the state you are in. So far, Jesus is hungry. You must enter your season.
Yes.
So we have been lied to about our season. We look at ourselves to determine whether it's our season or not. And so when we look at ourselves and look at our colleagues and look at where we are, we now say whether it's our season or not. But Jesus said that so far he is hungry, you are better start having contractions. If Jesus is hungry, Jesus' hunger is your season. So in the last days, we're going to have pastors and apostles, not because God called them to be pastors and apostles. They will be pastors and apostles first because Jesus is hungry for souls. Or you think the Lord will wait to call people and say, when they mature, I will call them. When there is hunger, there has to be fruitful. There has to be fruits. You see, that's why he is Lord. Eh?
Yes, sir.
You see, sometimes it's because we don't really understand lordship. We don't really get how to work with God. Praise God. Imagine the president. Imagine the president of America going to the White House and say he wants to eat something. And they now tell him that Biden is not available. No, it's available because he wants it.
Yes.
You see, it's available because what?
He wants it.
You know, the Lord needed a prophet one time. Jeremiah said, I'm a child. He was saying that I'm a child. What was he trying to say? That it's not my season. When I grow, I can be your prophet. But no, you can't be a child. You can't be a child. I need a prophet now. Anytime I need a prophet, then you are the prophet.
Yes.
So when God's hunger meets you, you better don't have an excuse.
Yes.
When God's hunger hits you, and I tell you the truth, there is a hunger. There is a divine hunger that is placed upon our lives. The hunger of the Lord. The Lord is hungry. And so we are going to produce according to the order of his hunger. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think, because you think, you, as you're sitting here, you think a tree is a non-living thing. Let's assume you are correct. If Jesus can be this serious with a non-living thing and curse a non-living thing that we think does not have sense, what about you? What do you think he will? If a non-living thing can tell God it's not my season and Jesus got offended at that and cursed it, what about you, a living thing? You say, how dare you? Huh? How what? How dare... Don't say you, say how dare me. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Is Pastor Lalo a pastor, a prophet, an evangelist? We don't know. And we don't care to know. You know why he's leading? Jesus is hungry.
Yes.
He's hungry. If Jesus is hungry, Jesus needs a pastor. Imagine when I now told him, you are going to be the pastor. I said, have God come here a technocrat. I'm a kingdom technocrat. I'm into business, building businesses and technical startups. I'm a technical software para something, something. The Lord will tell him, you will not have a calling again. He will not have a calling again. Huh?
Yeah.
Because he never thought that he will be a pastor. He never thought he would be a pastor. He doesn't know that he's a pastor. I don't know he's a pastor. I did never see a vision that he's a pastor. I don't know his calling. But there is a need.
Yes.
And I know that when heaven has a need, we have lost our right to give an excuse. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Do you know there's another place in scripture where the Bible says that any tree that does not what? Bear fruit. What will the father do? Oma bedan. Huh? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. The Lord will take it away. Don't play with Bible. Don't play with Bible. Stop reading Bible as if God will not do it. Is a kind God. Don't play with Bible. One of the things I know is that people play with Bible a lot. Don't play with Bible. He said he will take it away. So if you are not bearing fruit where you are meant to be bearing fruit, God is just watching you. He will take you away. Listen, I've been in this walk for a while. I have seen God take people away. And nothing will happen. Nothing. Like absolutely nothing will happen. You see, God will take you away. It will not be as if you were ordained to be taken away. Like it will be like the best thing that has ever happened to that tree. Yeah. It will be like a miracle. Like, wow! I tell you the truth. God does not take you away and you will be missed. Never. God takes you away and your memory will not even be anything. Yeah. There is nobody here who, when God takes away, it will be a big deal. Some of you thought that, if Pastor Zach, we'll miss Pastor Zach. Well, yeah, you miss him. But the work of God is moving with, you see, as I relocated there to go and do, I could have died. Like, it would be like, that's we had one Pastor Zach, go, oh, could he 2000, try. I'm telling you, it will not be a thing. Anybody can be taken away. Anybody. And anybody can be taken away. And another person, anybody can be replaced. And God will put anybody. You see, when God puts that person, I'll be like, wow, what mistake we made. This should have been the person that should have been there from day one. I tell you the truth. From anywhere. I tell you. You have to make sure that you're bearing fruits. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means that bearing fruit is not because of perfection. That means imperfection cannot be the reason why you say you are not yet ready to bear fruit. I said the one that bear fruit, we found that he has problem. Guy, any problem? But he's bearing fruit. So they will now prune him. So it means that he was not bearing fruit because he is good.
Yes.
You better bear fruit anyhow.
Yes.
Don't plan to bear fruit later and say, you know, when I get things right, you know, when I get things right, you know, I'm planning that, you know, by the time I deal with this issue, I deal with that issue. Then when I'm done, you know, by the time I get myself, let me get myself first. First. By the time I get myself, then everybody might bank pay along quenio. The Lord says, I say to you that he's planning to take you out. I'm okay. Tell them about you where because I don't live here. Don't have any problem with your long because I don't help you. Imagine I'm praying for you now and God said, leave a na me de. Imagine I'm praying for you, oh Lord. And God said, nah, Zach, na me. Feel it. Na me de tosha. Emi mongbicha. He said that was what God told Samuel when he was praying for Saul. God said, I tell you, you need to be free of planning fruitfulness after perfection. You need to be free. For those of you who want to be givers later, I tell you, you will not be a giver. God has a plan to make sure you will not be a giver. You plan to be a giver when? Later. They say, Kai, when I make money, Maogodja, BM, confirm Pastor Zach, no. First. First. You know, my plan for giving out honor when I want to honor guest preachers, my plan, this is how I will honor guest preachers. I plan that when they come, a brand new SUV, you see, will be used to go and drop them. And when they drop them, they will give them the key. That's my plan. I've done it already. You see, but I didn't do brand new. But I made sure I did it so that I will do it. So one day, a minister came to my house. I told the drivers to go and drop the minister. And when they dropped the minister in his house, they gave the minister the key. Yeah, so that God can know that I will do it. And what I want to do is what I will be doing. What I want to do. You know, banga can pain somebody. Because when you are poor and you buy banga, it's very painful. Because after you have blown the banga, you know, banga does not sound for long. It's not like, about to do wah. You are back to square one. You have to do it now, right? When are you going to pastor? When are you going to evangelize? When are you taking donations? When are you going to love your wife? When are you going to submit your husband?
No.
Later, when you mature.
No.
You want to mature. There might not be time for you to mature. That time, God might not have allocated it for you. See, our Savior died at 33. It's a very bad example. So to imagine 85 for you. Ko le du Oluwa to ba tete ku ko ni dun. Cause won go for right 33 lo lo. Many of us here are older than him already. So you are qualified for death. Listen, if you fear death, you will soon die. Yeah. The way I'm talking about it, don't think I'm afraid. Don't think, because I'm just telling you the fact. I'm telling you, people who are more spiritual than us have gone. I'm telling you that you have to do, you see, even the person who planned to betray Jesus, the last sermon Jesus gave him was to do it quickly. Even if you want to succeed in Satan's hand, you have to be quick. Oluwa ofesuegbe, isu go ofesuegbe. Let me begin to tie it up for you. What was the title of this message?
Gravity of fruitfulness.
I love you so much. So you see, you are going to be judged by the Lord himself and not by human assessment. That's what the Bible says, we have to be instant, in season, and out of season. Praise God. So, stop having a human assessment of yourself. Stop having an earthly assessment of yourself. Stop having a physical assessment of yourself. Stop doing that. This fig tree had a human earthly assessment of itself. What did he say? It's not our season. It had a logical assessment of itself. But he didn't know that God was not going to judge him by how he judges himself. God was going to judge him based on God's own hunger. You are judged on the basis of God's hunger. So you are judged on the basis of what God wants to get done. Praise God. So stop thinking it's okay and everything is fine because everybody around you thinks everything is fine. You see, the fig tree will never be judged by another fig tree. Am I not correct? Why? Because all of them agree that it's not what our season. So they will all be walking in groupies. It's not our season. Oh, you understand? It's not our season. It's not our season. When our day comes, we too. Whereas there's already a judgment upon their lives. So, you see, one of the things I learned earlier was that God told me when I was a teenager that you are not young. I tell you, it's one of my biggest lessons. Sometimes when I'm advising people, I see that they think they are young. A lot of people think they are young. Because the calmness is shocking to me. Like something they should like grab. They are slow. I'm like, who told this guy? Listen, this world there is a moving table. And the things on the table, when the table is coming back, the plate will not remain. Yes. Listen, if I didn't know you when I knew you, I might not know you again in life. Yes. Yes. The thing is moving. Even the earth itself, the scientists told us is moving. It's moving. I'm blessed. One of the reasons I'm blessed was because of the seriousness with which I took my life when I was way younger than this. Listen, I've been laboring for about 20 years. Seriously. And some of those fruits are just showing up. Now, when I was laboring, it didn't make any sense to labor at that age. Because all my other friends were not laboring at that age. They were asking themselves, so what are you doing now? What are you? They were asking themselves useless, foolish questions. I was laboring and what the Lord will have me labor. Yes. And if I didn't labor, there are some harvests that mean I will never be there. No, it won't happen. See. See the great thing God has given us. See a great house that God has given us. I've moved again. It's labor. 20 years we speak of it. Yes, sir. Yeah, it will speak of it. So the way some people act like they can get to it later is a very strange thing. So stop judging yourself by your group. Judge yourself by the hunger of God. God told me you are not young. And for all the young people who are close to me, maybe the teenagers and all that, the thing I tell them is, Onshomodemo. I keep telling people, you are not this. You are not a baby. Because when you are 17, 18, 19, 20, people say, 19, you still have time. It's one of the most dangerous lines that is used to weaken souls. Yeah. Okay, you are 21. You still have time. Don't worry. When you are 28, 29, then... I want to don't destroy earlier years. People in the kingdom of darkness, they are in their teenage years. All the stars we are talking about are 21, 22. Do you know that the biggest musician artists in Nigeria, the biggest of them, like who are thinking of shutting down their career? You don't understand? Like they have reigned. They now want to shut down. And in their early 30s. Do you know? Do you know them? The Wizkid and the Davidos of this life at like maybe 33, 32. Like they have reigned. They don't want to calm down. Then you see. You understand what I want to say already, Abby? Like what? They've reigned for like 15 years. They've won stuff. Now I say, okay, let's calm down. What can we now do? Let's allow the younger people take over. They are talking about a new generation. One promise God says He will give to us is time and chance. So I just told you now, don't judge yourself by what group is. So we're all 17 years old. When I was 16, I was going to redemption camp, 7 days retreat, fasting like I wanted to die. You see, my mates, in quotes, were not doing that. But the question is, who are really my mates? My true mate is God's hunger. I made you not doing that. You see, we were making decisions that our mates were not making. I remember when I got married, people were wondering, why are you going to marry? Why are you marrying? Are you okay? Why are you marrying? You know, they say achieve. There's a time to marry for a man. There's time to marry. Even for a woman. When I mean time, it's not age. But there's a time. There's a window. Don't miss it. So that you will not marry by mercy. There's a window. See, women. When you see a godly man that wants to marry you, a godly man that has basic sense, not all sense, because even the basic sense, after the marriage, you'll find that it's scam. It's still not there. You understand? The basic one, you find that it looked like it was there, but it was not there. But basic sense, as per, he's sincere with the Lord. You understand? The Lord can reach him. I tell you the truth. Marry him. Huh? What should you do? Marry him. Marry him. Ask him. You see, it's a good question is to ask a man, when are we getting married? You see, any man that you ask that and he says, any man that says, why are you pressurizing me? You see, you should ask him, why are you not pressurized? Why were you not pressurized before coming to me? Why didn't pressure bring you? You see, it's a red flag that you don't have inbuilt pressure. Why are you not? Because you should be pressured to marry. Every man should have a pressure to marry. Every young man should have a pressure to marry. Because marriage solves a lot of problems. Yes, and it creates new ones. It is worldliness. I was sharing one of my spiritual daughters. I told her, it is worldliness to play hard to get. It's a worldly thing. It's not a Christian thing. Like, you know, you will still marry the person. Then, you know, you're of this world. I know it's normal to you, but it's a worldly thing. The Bible says, let our ye be ye, and our nay be nay. Oh, girl, I like you. I want to marry you. I really don't like you. I'm not sure I want to marry you. If that's your real answer, tell the person like that. Don't allow the person, you know, stress himself. It's unnecessary. Amen. And then we can also ask, you have been around for a while. You have been calling me. You have been doing a lot of things. What's the plan? Do you want to marry me or you don't want to marry me? Be confident about asking it. Don't think you are, that am I looking like I'm desperate? No. You are not looking desperate. You are looking purposeful. I noticed that we've been talking regularly. Have you not noticed that? Like, we talk. For the past 3 weeks, we have really been talking. Do you have intent to marry me? Or what's this talk about? I really need to know. Then if he's a criminal, he will stammer. Why? Because he was not expecting you. You see? Because there is a flirt in every tongue-talking man. It's a fleshy thing. You see, that a man speaking in tongue doesn't mean he doesn't have flesh. So flirting is part of our flesh. You understand? So don't allow someone, you know, exercise their flesh. So, you see, people just like to talk to somebody. The person makes you feel good, all of that. The guy might not have a plan, but you have to ask him directly. That's what's your plan? Then he will stammer. Then he will say, let's be. If he's a terrible person or a devil, he'll say, let's just see where it goes. Can you see? I'm exposing that devil in this show that I'm telling you. So let's follow the flow. Let's see where it goes. Then you'll tell him that you can go and find out where it goes, you know. When you find out where it's going, you can come back. You can come back, you know, maybe to my younger sister or something. But, you know. Now, because when the person comes back, you won't be there. Because another person who knows the flow and knows that you are in the flow will tell you, it's a flow. We are flowing. On flow. I don't flow. I feel flow on marriage. Yeah, go jubelo. Also, the first serious conversation I had with my own wife, I told her, I have 2 questions to ask you. Can you marry me? And if you can, will you? Because there are some things we can do, but we choose not to do. So I want to know if you can. Because you know, one day my wife looked at me and said, you are too complicated. That's why I asked her, can you? did I not ask you? Can you? You see, if you are close to me, and she says, and I'm sure you think you are not complicated. Because I think I'm not complicated. But there's a way I just like my things to be. When you are close to me, you will find out that I'm not as nice as when you are. Some of your greatest blessings that you are not close to me. Because when you are close to me, there's a way I like my things to be. Okay, let me tell you one thing I noticed, for example. I felt like the line they put on the rug to get this in is too much. They don't need the line. They can just put 2 pins inside itself because the line is too much. Imagine I'm living with somebody who can see those kind of little things. I've already told them to break the stairs they put there because the tiles looks like toilet tiles. You know? So you can imagine that kind of human being. You see the way the choir, when I want to sing, you see, they can sing, go, but when it's me that wants them to sing, you will see the pressure they are in because they're afraid because they don't know what they will sing. They will just... I'm sure they're happy when it's not them. They say, she go and back, but I was like, go, go. So it's, but with all of these things, I'll be smiling with you. We're doing that. I will not abuse you. I will not insult you. I'll say, wow, thank you. But can you just do that? Can you just... Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
Are you blessed?
Yes, sir.
Are you making a decision as I'm preaching?
Yes, sir.
No, are you telling the truth? Are you making a decision on the type of life you want to live? So your mates is God's hunger. Who are your mates? You have no business feeling good because the circle around you, you know. So let me tell you things that you should not agree to. You are not too young. Huh? Imagine if David thought he was too young. Huh? The gravity of fruitfulness. Imagine if David thought he was too young. You know, the old David story started when the young man was 17. The old David story. Historians tell us Timothy was a teenager. That's Timothy. See what Paul wrote to Timothy. It was not written to an old pastor. It was written to a... Because how do we know? History books tell us that he was very young. He was in his teens when they wrote that book to him. That thing was for teenage pastor. That's why it is foolishness to gather teenagers and think that what they should be doing is choreography. You are just a mumu. Which choreography? You don't have sense. The teenagers are wiser than you. You should sit down, let them teach you. And that's why I told them in church, put a teenager in every department. I tell you the truth. Because sometimes life moves. And the teenagers are the ones that have sometimes the new template of doing things, the new ideas of doing things. Because when we were teenagers, we used to mock those old people. Now, those old people you used to mock, you are now... You are forgetting that you are... You think you are still that... No, you are not the, you are not as bright as you thought you were. You need those teenagers to impute new ways of doing things. Or else you will be stuck. And you won't know it. I tell them, put every teenager in every unit. Let them give us their ideas and their this thing. And train teenagers to be crazy. Crazy for knowledge, crazy for greatness. They should not live. You see, train people to only be African in the area of social life, community living, respect, and all of that. But other things, don't train people to be African. Train them to be global. Are we together here?
No.
You are not too young. I'm not too young, go. In the next few years, we'll be the ones God will give prophecy to prophesy of a new generation.
Yeah.
Say, people are coming. That, you know, when God used you to say, people are coming, what is that telling about you? If people have gone. We were prophesying about 20 years ago that God is going to do a new thing. God is going to send a new army. Shouldn't you have sense that you are now that army? If you said God is going to raise a new army 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 10 years ago, 10 years after, you are still saying God is going to raise a new people, a brand new people are coming into the scene, you are not a serious person. The brand new people are already on the scene. And it's meant to be you and me. That's why we are not going to rest. Listen, we are not going to rest until we take the cities. We take the nations.
Yes.
No, we're not going to rest. What is the rest for? We're not going to rest. Until we become a center of glorious attraction, we're never going to rest. And it won't be a prophecy. We will be working towards it every day. Every day. And we're not going to do only the things that we think we can now do. You know, we're going to do things that we can do, naturally speaking, are the things we'll be doing. Can you say, I'm not too young?
I'm not too young.
I'm not young. In fact, it's too late to be telling you are not too young. Because you don't need revelation to know that. You understand? Your back is already telling you all of that. Are you with me? David is an example of that. David is what? Is an example of that. You are not too young to do great and mighty things. You are not less anointed. Eh? Do you know that there are people who look anointed? Like they are obviously anointed. And there are people who don't look anointed. You know, I have one friend. He doesn't look anointed. I'm telling the truth. He's such a comedian. He doesn't look anointed at all. Sometimes I used to wonder that, does he even know anything in this Bible? He doesn't really talk about the Bible, but he's a committed church person. But he doesn't talk like us. When we're talking about, you know, the Lord is doing a new thing, there's a global apostolic reformation taking over the earth, we are the people of the third day, the Lord is raising apostles of the Lamb, the Lord is raising. When we are talking all those, he would just be laughing and talking on that and say, when we finish the meeting, we say, Mogo Shop Abego, Mogo. You know, he doesn't really. But guess what? I found out that in every revival, in any move of God, this man is just so steadfast, so committed. I tell you the truth. He's so committed. Very committed. And his heart for God is serious. But he doesn't look like it. At all. You know, he's been away from the country for many years. I saw him recently. When he was coming to visit me, the only thing we could plan with is that Abeg, we used to play a game. Like, we've never prayed together. I was not hurrying to go and look for where to buy TV. You know, I have a whole house, I don't have TV, but because one friend is coming, and I wanted to buy TV so that we can use it to play his game, because he was coming with game. He drove 2 hours, 30 minutes to come and see me so that we can play game. I was now checking Facebook to go and buy, because that TV is a useless, it will most likely be a useless TV. It's just for that day. So I was now looking at where to buy a very cheap TV so that me and this, my friend, can play game. When he came, he said, Alpha, where the game now? Where the TV? I said, W-w-w-w-w-w-w. And then we went somewhere. Before I knew, this guy had spent like $1 million to buy me TV. I was almost tapping him and see. Just the game we did not play. Now, do you know what it means to be a person that has that level of commitment and love to a relationship? That's a Christian. Yeah, you will get what I'm talking about. Someone who can keep a relationship for about 15 years. Yeah. When that guy was poor, there is no day he was poor. But that's 15 years ago. There's no day he has visited me without brand new notes. Whenever he's visiting me, when he comes to visit me, when his girl says, "Hey, I don't bring that in." He'll give me brand new notes. Maybe 10,000. Now he's doing very well. You know when somebody says, "Like, I don't want to work for a while. I want to think." So he resigned to take time. I said, "I want to think. And I want to find out what I want to do next. And I want to spend more time with my wife. So I'm not going to work." He said, "No, I'm fine. I can still take care of myself for some years. I can still take care of myself." He says, he told me, I need to introduce you. He said, "Are you ready?" He sent me some messages. "I need to introduce you to one man. He's a missionary. I want you to connect to him so that, because it'd be like, say you get all these Poland, all these Denmark, Poland kind thing. Poland. And then he mentioned one country, Finland. He said, "That man, see, go Finland. This thing, I will connect to that man." He's committed. He set up, he's the coach of a major football team in his community. The leaders, the political leaders, gave him an award. He's a coach of that team. And that team, the plan is to use football to get some people saved. Yeah. He doesn't look anointed, but he's getting the job done. You, all the new spiritual language, fool your mouth. In fact, your screensaver is two horns, two lions, and one sheep, but you are doing nothing. You can analyze deep things, you have. You look it, but you're not getting the job done. You see, you don't have to look anointed. Pastor Laolu did not necessarily look anointed. Are you with me? You look like a business. In fact, someone told me he's a businessman. Say, your new pastor is a businessman. He doesn't look anointed, but he's getting the job done. So don't say those are the people they called. You should stop making evil statements that will make Jesus want feel like cursing you. Stop saying, stop making useless statements that makes it look like you are a waste of breath. Don't say that. You were made and the breath of God was put in you. Stop excluding yourself from the things of God. So why are you here? Why are you here if you exclude yourself from things of God? I say, No. We have all been called and we have all been given the ministry of reconciliation.
Yes.
All of us. All of us have been given the ministry of reconciliation. So you are not less anointed. Can you say, I'm not less anointed?
I'm not less anointed.
Or say, I'm not without the anointing.
I'm not without the anointing.
Say, you are not poor.
I'm not poor.
I'm telling you about the common excuses that we use. And we judge ourselves. Say we don't have money. Look at this. Look at this house. Look at you guys. We're already in negotiation for the third building this year. We're in negotiation for the third building for this ministry this year. Just this year, we bought two already. There's never been a time in the account of this ministry where we had 5 million doing nothing. Like just savings. We've never had it. I'm telling you. And we're buying and doing great stuff. You know what? Because we are responding to God's hunger.
Yeah.
We're not responding to what we have. So we can't do this one. Very soon, in about a year, before we know it, when the architect showed me what they want to build here, it's so beautiful. It's going to cost us hundreds of millions. But we won't look at the account and not excuse ourselves. If Jesus is hungry for a building, we are going to build him one. Are you getting it? Pastor, how are we doing it? We are responding to the Lord's hunger. His hunger is our season. So we are not that type of church yet. We are not yet there. We are not poor. Are you poor?
No.
Are you not going to be part of people who's going to give to the Lord for the projects we are going to do? Give to the Lord. You know, when we start, maybe sometime next year, I don't know. When we start raising money, maybe next year, maybe middle of next year, or maybe end it, I don't know. You know how we're going to raise it? Shall I tell you? Let me tell you. We're going to create a space period where we're going to raise the money. We're going to raise it in groups, and this is how it's going to happen. I, as an individual, I will say I'm giving 10 million. Eh? The others who want to give 10 million, you see, will say, I'm also going to give 10 million. Then we, the 10 million group, 10 million people, will form a group, praying together, trusting God together. And in the space of 1 year, each person would have given that 10 million. Another group of people will say, I'm going to, me too. Me, why you are saying, I want you to first do, don't shake or follow. I'm going to do 5 million. Somebody will say, I'm going to do 50. I believe that I can do 50. You understand? Not the 50-50 that there's no way you can. You know, some people will call money that there's no way they can get it. But anyway, I'll do 50. So that when they don't do it, they'll say, oh, Lord, my God, you did not. Criminal court gone. Criminal. I'm telling you. I'm going to decide what I'll do based on what I have. But the difference is that I'm just going to give more than I've ever done in my life. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Listen, those are the kind of people I am pastoring. I'm not pastoring those who, when the Lord wants to, where they are just enjoy, they just enjoy. They are not on the field with the Lord. Are you poor? I said, are you poor?
No, sir.
If it was not, I taught you some years ago. My time is not working. Let me see. My research is, the battery is down. The charge is down. Because as well like this, I can just keep talking. Oh, all right. 10 more pastoral minutes. 10 ministerial minutes. You have to convert pastoral 10 minutes to congregational 10 minutes. Where does it end? Then you now find out the real minutes. So I give you 10 more pastoral minutes. Are there poor people here?
No.
You know, the fig tree said, it's not my season. Some people will say, I'm too young. We are young people. We are young people. Oh, we are a young church. No. I want to be. It's going to be a young church doing great things. It's going to be young people doing great things. It's going to be people who are not necessarily billionaires or millionaires, but by the time you see their works, you are wondering: Are you sure they are not billionaires? I say, they are billionaires. It's just that they do not plan. They are not waiting to be billionaires before doing billionaire things. Because they are sure they will be. So they are already doing it now. I'm excited. Seriously, I'm excited. I'm excited about the kind of life God has called us to live. You should be excited. Yeah. You should be excited. You have been called to live a very powerful life. A strong life. A life that carries conviction. Are you here? You went somewhere.
No.
So what's the first thing that you are not?
Not
you are not what?
Not
what's the second one?
Not
what's the third one?
I am not.
You know? You are not so much a failure that you are no more useful to God. Yeah. You see, some people excuse themselves because they are failed. You know, failure is powerful because failure has a voice. When you have failed before, when you want to try again, that voice will tell you, "O to fellow, disgrace are I." One of the most powerful evangelists we saw in the days of Jesus Christ, that the Bible recorded she was able to gather almost a whole city, was a woman who currently has 5 husbands. And the one she's currently with is not her own. Like bad testimony. And she didn't become better after, you know, going through process, repentance, deliverance. She became a great evangelist that day. You see? So that's compounded failure, but gave fruit that day. He says, so fruit is not outcome of perfection. It's an outcome of regardless.
Yes.
Are you with me? If you respect your failures, you'll be fruitless. You need to disrespect your failure. Don't respect it. Don't respect the blunders and the failures you have made in the past. You see? And don't wait for people to forgive you of your failures before you become great. No, don't wait for men's forgiveness. So Men's forgiveness, don't wait for it to. Men don't easily forgive. But I tell you that you can do a lot even when people don't like you. Yeah. Even when people, there's one guy that I don't really like. The guy is doing a lot. I don't really like the guy. One great preacher. I don't like him, but as I'm not liking him, he's prospering. I tell you the truth. I said, wow, I need to start liking this guy. I tell you, he's, as I'm not liking him, because you see, my likeness is for my lack of liking him is my own problem. Are you with me? The man is prospering, is flying. You see, I had to start praying for him. I said, Lord, let this man keep flying higher and higher. Because that's how I punish myself. I punish myself by adding value to those I envy. So sometimes when I'm adding value to somebody, it's not because I like the person, because I'm envying the person. So when I envy you, I punish myself. So I give an offering to those I'm envying. Until envy will not be comfortable around me. You see. And if you spiritualize your envy, you will soon be destroyed. I said, not like I envy him. I just like the truth. I just, like, I envy him. Are we together, friends? So, even though you recently failed, you can also suddenly do great things for the Lord. Yeah, I tell you the truth. I don't know if there's anybody here who has an excuse not to be fruitful. Do you have one? You know what inspires us and what energizes us and what supplies us grace is the hunger of Jesus. The hunger of Jesus is my season. That's my season. My season is not my age, my bank account, and all of that. You see, I got married. I was preparing for my marriage when I was trying to go and write a carryover course, because I carried, like, you know, I did not like leave school once. I failed out, you know. I've really failed. Even secondary school, I failed out of secondary school. I tell you the truth. My WAEC, you see, if my WAEC is a prophecy, then it must mean that a lot of things I will do in life will start with F. Because the amount of F's I had was very strange. I'm telling you the truth. I had quite an amount of F's. Even university too, I failed out of the university. You see. But when you are a lion, you are a lion. I'm still praying for those who passed out well. I'm praying for them to do something with their lives. I tell you the truth. When I was going back, you know, others were going back to rewrite the exam with shame. I was going back to write my exam giving out IVs for my wedding. Why? Because even though they say it's not the time for figs, my time was the Lord's hunger. So is it the time to be married? Oh, take a quarry exam, so what a quarry, No, do you know the Lord's hunger? Are you the Lord's friend? When I was talking to the Lord, his hunger for me was to be married so that I can do the work of the ministry. And I went into that. Amen. I prospered. I had a wedding like a crusade. You know, in my mind, whilst I'm preaching, in my mind, I said something in my mind. I looked at people, I looked at humanity, and I told them, I don't send you. I didn't say it out because it's not a good thing for a pastor to say. But that's the condition of my soul. I tell you the truth. I don't know, I love you, but I don't know what. I don't know, send. That's my response to mankind and all their laws and rules. I don't send you. I'm going to execute all that God has ordained for me to execute. You just they look. You see, no matter how big that food is, if you look at, if you take ants for granted, it will move that thing. You know, the way ants move food, you'll be shocked. You'll see ants can, some ants, when they come, they can move plate. Small, small. You will just see those things moving some string things. Why? Focus. You will not be fruitless. You will not be. You will not accommodate limitations. You will not. You will not. You are not going to accommodate limitations. You are not going to accommodate limitations. Whether on the basis of age, on the basis of culture, whatever, you are not going to accommodate limitation. The vision of God becomes your own vision.
Amen.
I was preaching, look at me, friends. I was preaching to, look at me, you can stand, you can sit, you can stand. I'm saying you are okay, however you are. I was preaching to the guys in Ikorodu, and I was opening to them Isaiah chapter 6. You see? Isaiah said that when he saw the Lord, one of the things he saw was that he saw angels. And those angels cried one to another. And they were crying only one thing. The angels were saying, holy, washubo. Go on, let me washubo. They were saying, holy, holy, holy. You see? Then, you see that punctuation that you see there? They now looked at the earth. Eh? They now say the earth is full of God's glory. They saw Buhari. They saw Tinubu. They saw APC. Now, naturally speaking, you can't say those things I just mentioned and talk glory. They saw Nigerian politicians. And yet they say the earth is full of God's glory. You see, when you see the Lord, you will enter into a regardless mode.
Yes.
Regardless of what's on the earth, because they were seeing God from God's glory, because they were seeing from the presence, they said the earth is full of God. So it means that when you see the Lord, regardless of your age, regardless of your failures, listen, the reason why you are trying to defend yourself when you fail is because you think you need not to be bad to do good. So you don't want it to be your fault. Say, no, I did not really do it like that. No, I accept it. Now me. You see, that failure where you see where happened yesterday, now me. Why? Because I'm a stupid person. But you see, this stupid person is going to manifest the greatest wisdom. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I was preaching somewhere last week and I told them, was it last week or last 2 weeks? I said that Samson in his lowest state haven't failed so much. You see, whilst he was still counting his failures, his hair was growing. Why? Because God's hand on him is a consistent thing.
Yes.
The air was, it means that air was not a one-off thing. God did not just give him air. God gave him the ability to grow. God is saying that my grace upon your life is going to be a consistent thing. And there will be no failure you have made that will make it stop. Are you with me? Praise God. So, as you are hearing me this morning, this beautiful morning, what is happening to you is that you are no longer defining yourself by anything anymore. Only God's hunger now defines you. If God needs an apostle, I'm here.
Yes, sir.
For like, you know you're a woman. Eh? You're a woman. But if God needs a man, and the women and the men are not available, you will show up.
Yes, sir.
Did the Bible not say, then arose Deborah? Most most of the judges in Israel, if not all, are men. But if there are no more men, Belarus Deborah. Male and female creator hid them and called them man. So the woman is a woman man. The man is a man man. He goat, she goat. Goat, goat. I tell you the truth. We are no longer leading ordinary lives. No more. I'm a response to God's hunger. I will not allow God to respond to me telling him there's lack, because his response is a curse. But I will respond perfectly to his hunger. That Lord, when you are hungry, you will find fruit here. When you are hungry, you will find fruit here. Regardless. I see your hand wrought great things for the Lord. Now if you need somebody to say what you say, find me. Keep flowing with the Lord. There is a transaction going on. Don't be distracted. We have just 10 minutes. Keep speaking to your spirit, man. This is not a Pentecostal excitement. I want you to intelligently, spiritually, speak to your heart. Determine in God's presence who and whose you are.
If you need somebody to say what you say, find me. You can find me. You can find me. Yahweh, if you need somebody to do what you will, find me. You can find me, Lord. You can find me. Oh, if you need somebody, if you need somebody to say what you say, find me. You can find.
Say, find me. Find me, Yeshua. Find me, Lord. Come, Ayote. He has come to put fire on the earth.
way. If you need somebody to do what you will, find me. You can find me. Yahweh, if you need somebody to do what you will, find me. You can find me. I'm asking the Lord to give you fire, to own you by fire, to own you by fire.
So you never leave for that which is not your purpose and your callings. You will leave only for Him. Oh, real fire from God. The one only God can give. And is resting upon us. I believe that a harvest has gone on this morning, and God is harvesting our hearts and is setting us back on track. He's setting our focus back. So this life is for fruits for Jesus, for nothing else. It's not mine, it's His. Glory to Jesus. Glory to the one with whom we have to do. Glory to that one whom we shall see face to face. And by this fire, when we see His face, we will not be ashamed. We will not be ashamed. We live for that day where we shall see Him. Every day we live having that day in mind. Our hearts will not be removed from that vision. When I see Him, I will not be ashamed. Oh, Lord God, we receive of Your fire. Oh, thank You, Lord Jesus. The glory of the Lord is with us in this house. The glory of the Lord is with us. His hand is with us in this room. The presence of the Lord is with us. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, I see the hand of the Lord on some of you right now. I see the hand of the Lord. I see that man and that woman behind, holding hands. I see the Lord ministering to you guys. I see the Lord in our midst. A fresh love for Jesus. Oh, holy fire. Holy fire of Jesus. He's with us. He's here with us. His presence is everywhere. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, is recovering us back. Oh, yes. His love is poured forth. It's like liquid fire. Oh, yes. Just like you love us, we love you too. Just as you love us, we love you too. Just as you love us, we love you too. Kuabano Shamano. Just as you love us, we love you too. We
I love you, Lord. Let everybody hear your voice. I love you. Come on, let everybody hear your voice. Don't plan to love him later. Right now, say, I love you, Lord. I want everybody to sing and shout to the Lord. Whether you think you don't or you do, just say it. It's by fire. Hey, I love you, Lord. It's love that we shed. I brought our hearts by the Holy Ghost. I love you, Lord. I said, people, let's say we love you, Lord.
We love you, Lord.
We love you, Lord.
We love you, Lord.
We love you. We love you.
We love you.
We love you. We love you. As you loved us, we love you too. Ooh, yeah. Just as you love us, we love you too. Just as you love us, oh, we love you too.
Just as you love us, we love you too.
We love you, Lord.
We love you, Lord.
Mm.
We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord.
We love you, Lord.
Your brother's hand or your sister's hand, somebody on right or your left. Brothers and sisters, we're not trying to build another church. We're not trying to just have another church. This has to be a congregation of those who love the Lord. And it's not something you need to try to do. It's something that He has already done inside you. We just need to respond to it. The Bible says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. See, I don't care about a classy church. I don't care about a popular church. I don't care. I don't care. I don't want it. I don't want to be one of the next. I don't want us to be one of the next fine churches. In Lagos. I don't want us to be a church that has swag. I don't want it to be a church of... fine young people. I don't care. I don't want to be one of the happening churches. I don't care. You know what I care for? A raw passion and love for the Lord. That's all I care for. I don't care. I don't send. I don't want to be. I don't have the desire. I don't want it. But I want raw love. for Jesus. I don't want it to be happening. I don't want us to be a hippie church. I don't want an hippie church. And I don't want an SU church. I don't care for those things. But I want it to be a church of people who love the Lord and who are in love with one another. Who are in love with souls. That's the kind of church we want. I don't want to be a Lagos church. I don't want to be. I don't care for it. I bless God for the beautiful churches we have. I bless God for all the powerful churches, the Daystars and all of that, those great, amazing churches that God has given us. But I don't want to be one of them. Not because they are bad or they are good. No, not because they are bad. They are good. But I don't want that. I just want us to be a people who love the Lord. Raw. Eh? How? Raw. I want it raw. When we come to church, I don't want us to be different people from coming to church and when we are not in church. Eh? I want it raw. I don't want drama. I don't want to be a drama preacher. I don't want to have preaching voice and playing voice and talking voice. I don't want drama. I don't want the worship guys to be dramatic people or drama. I don't want the keyboardists to be people who are playing keyboard for money. I don't want that. I don't want the keyboardists to leave the service when preaching is going on and come back when it's time to play the keyboard. I don't want that. I want everybody loving Jesus at whatever level you are in. I don't want a church of class. Huh? I don't want big men. I don't want big women. I don't want big boys and big girls. What do we want? Raw lovers of Jesus Christ. Raw. I want it out. Raw. I want that when you come here, you don't have to adjust your body because you have come to one corporate place. You have to adjust and now look responsible. If you were irresponsible before coming, I want you when you come here, let everybody know that, okay, this is an irresponsible person every day of his life. Raw. So that we can grow genuine growth. We know where we are. We know where we are growing to. I stood you up so that you can understand my heart and the heart of God for this house. How do we want it?
Raw.
But guess what? The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. When we are raw, we'll be wealthy. When we are raw, we'll be classy.
Yes.
When we are raw, we'll have all the best things.
Yes.
But that will not be what defines us.
Yes.
We don't care for it.
Yes.
We don't care for it. I want you to lead meetings and lead things in your streets, in your city. I want you to start Jesus stuff in your offices. I just want you to be about Jesus. So that when you see him face to face, you will not be ashamed. I want us to prepare for his coming. Or you're going. Those are the two bases upon which we must live our lives. His return or our going to him. Let's not see him and say, I just remember what I should be doing on earth. God bless you.